I don't know if you guys would agree with me on this statement, but when it comes to shopping, I kind of feel like there's two general groups of people. There's one group when it's time to go shopping, they're on a mission. When I need a pair of jeans, I go to the store and I get a pair of jeans. I walk in, I grab the size, I pray it still fits, and I go check out. I may go to the 50, 60, 75% off because I'm frugal, not cheap. But I tend to go shopping in a mission. I tend to go and get what I need and then leave. And Miss Shanda is very similar in that way, except for when we go to the grocery store. So we spend all of our time in the week. We have this nice little piece of paper on the fridge that we put an X near milk, an X near bread, an X near sugar. It's like got all the stuff pre-filled. And anytime we know we need something, we put it on there. And then we go to the store. And that's there. We get everything. But we still go up and down the aisle. Because she's like, well, I don't know if I need it until I see it. So she's one that kind of looks, but she doesn't necessarily go to the store and browse. So I kind of feel like Miss Shanda and I are in the kind of, we go and get what we need. Whereas others would go into a store or into the mall and just spend all day checking things out. I see some looks. I see some finger pointing over here from someone to someone. I won't name his name on the broadcast, but you can ask me after. If you want to know that Sam was pointing at Mr. Paul, you can talk to me after and ask me that question. But I'm not going to say it on the recording. Don't want to do that. Well, Matthew and Luke capture in their gospel accounts a particular parable that Jesus taught in his teaching that articulated God's missional purpose. It appears that each of these writers, they capture a different account. They're telling different audiences, but it's really the same parable. So if you have your Bibles with you, then I'd like to look at the version in Luke. Luke chapter 15, verses 3 through 9, and this is the parable of the lost sheep. Now in this parable, we will see the value and importance that God places on going after what he's going after. His specific mission, seeking the lost. Scripture says this, verse 3. So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Now, in Luke's account, Jesus, he's telling this parables in an attempt to teach the Pharisees that God loves each and every sinner. The Pharisees, they didn't understand, why wouldn't Jesus want to spend all their time with them? I mean, they're good people. They're obeying all of God's laws. Why would you want to spend your time with sinners instead of with us? But Jesus was trying to explain to them that this is different. Heaven rejoices when sinners repent, rather than over self-righteous people who don't think they need God, trying to really teach them something different, which, of course, unfortunately, they didn't get. Jesus' audience, they would have been very familiar with sheep and the role of a shepherd. I mean, that was very common in those days in the culture, and a shepherd would lead their flock. He would take their flock to the best places to graze, the best places to get water. The shepherd often had to risk their life in order to protect the sheep from predators like bears and other animals. And sometimes the sheep would fall down in a gully, and that shepherd would have to climb down and bring it back to safety. And that would mean they'd throw it on their shoulders and climb back up, as it says in verse 5. Each and every sheep for the shepherd was important. And Jesus in this parable is really trying to help them understand that the magnitude of God's love for every human being is immense. He does not want even one of us to go astray. But unfortunately, that's the condition of all mankind, Isaiah says in 53:6. It says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, being Jesus. Mankind had gone astray. God sent his son Jesus to find us. God's ultimate mission is accomplished through Jesus' life, through his death and his resurrection. Jesus is our good shepherd, the one who descended from heaven to rescue the lost. And because of Jesus, those who place their faith in him will enjoy God's presence and blessing for all of eternity. Jesus came to save us from our sins and to redeem and restore his creation. Our God is a missional God, as it says right on the top of your outline. And God's missional purpose is to rescue sinners. As we, believers in Jesus Christ, God invites us to become involved in his work. So once we accept him, we're invited to get involved. We're meant to be his hands and feet in the world. We're meant to go on mission with him. We're meant to live missional lives as God. We follow him and walk in obedience. We seek his will. And every God follower should work to carry that mission in every part of our life. We're all missionaries God has sent into our world. We see this in Matthew 5, starting in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. He says, you, believers, are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. Jesus told us that we are to be salt of the earth, light of the world, and let our light shine before others. Because when we shine for Jesus, we touch hearts of those around us. By being who he called us to be, because salt transforms what we eat. It transforms people, in the analogy. And light transforms darkness into what can be seen. And God wants us to be salt and light, to impact people for the kingdom. So whatever we do in order to bring glory to God and point others to Jesus' redeeming work on the cross. For nearly 20 years, Westridge has been a place where people have grabbed hold of God's missional purpose for their lives. And they've went and they've made disciples. They've displayed God's love. They've went out and sought the lost, a mission God placed on each of us until Christ's return to take us home. West Virginians have served and ministered in so many ways. I just want to give you a few examples, and I think many of you remember those. Westridge has been to homeless shelters, ministering to people. Food pantries. 1 year, teams did national night out in three different cities in our surrounding area, showing love to the community. Last year, for the first time, we engaged in the Alpha Community Night here, which will happen again in early October. We had a float in the Phillipsburg Parade. Do you guys remember that? We had a float, a live band on the float. People were tossing out candy, and we got a trophy for the best float because we're in that. Night to Shine. Night to Shine is an unforgettable prom night experience that's centered around God's love for people with special needs, ages 14 and older. Teams have gone Christmas caroling, and we've had a booth at the Warren County Fair every year prior to COVID, where we gave out free balloons, free lemonade, candy, and millions of smiles. Many of those years, Westridge built, or should I say, demolished, rebuilt, then demolished again a demolition derby car, placing high in the standings on several occasions, might I add. And for those of you who have been around for years, you might remember some specific missions God has placed before us. Does anybody remember the 1,000 asks, where collectively as a church, we sought to invite 1,000 people to join us? We met that challenge. How about crossing the bridge, where God would ask us to take our mission to a field we've never been before, to somewhere you don't normally go. Go somewhere new, meet new people. Many of you did that, and you have shirts to prove that new battlefield. And then this year, our mission has been to help others understand there's a God who knows them. There's a God who understands them, a God who loves them and wants a relationship. God's missional call should impact our entire life within and outside the context of operating his church on a Saturday night in small groups. Should be in everything that we do. In 2017, 15 people went on a mission trip in West Virginia, loving and serving. Well, 2 weeks ago, as you guys all know, 6 people went on a similar short-term mission trip, this time to Kentucky. A trip that was meant to happen in 2020 required most everyone who went to take time off from work and vacation. Each person had to raise some level of funds themselves and commit financially to cover additional costs. And those who went gave up their comforts of their home. They gave up time with their family in order to brightly shine for Jesus. You know, following God often requires that you and I sacrifice something. We give something up to perform the work that God asks us to do. And it often requires we give that something up because that transforms us. It influences those around us. It brings us closer to who God wants us to be. So I'm going to ask Miss Sarah to come up and tell everyone listening and watching online about this trip and about our missional God who is actively at work in the individuals and people that were involved. Miss Sarah?
Thank you, Pastor Robert. It has been an honor to be a part of this journey. We all enjoy a good journey, don't we? If Mr. Caleb was up here, I have no doubt he would reference the journey of Sam and Frodo in Lord of the Rings, or perhaps the Avengers in their mission to save the world. And those are great and exciting journeys. However, nothing is quite as exciting as the journey God places us on. So tonight, let's reflect on a journey of faith and transformation. We all go on a personal journey with God when we become believers, a transformation of self that allows us to see things differently, to experience a peace we never had, or maybe reflect a joy that was not there before we became believers. It transpires differently for each of us, and that is what makes it so exciting. There is no predicting what your experience will be. No two stories are alike. So let's break this down, a journey of faith and transformation. Faith is the reliance, loyalty, or complete trust in God. In the NIV text, Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." Transformation is defined as a changed outer appearance or inner character. In Romans 12:2, the Bible states, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." As Pastor Robert mentioned, the purpose of a missional journey is to rescue sinners, people that are lost. And to do that, we need to have a faith that leads us into circumstances and situations where we must rely on God and trust in what we cannot see. Likewise, we must be willing to experience and enact transformation, in that as we move forward, the work that we do results in external change, and hopefully for us, and perhaps those we serve, an inner character change. I am excited to be able to reflect on the faith and transformation God has revealed through this mission trip. And I hope it encourages you on your own missional journey of faith and transformation. As previously stated, planning for this particular mission began over 2.5 years ago. After much nudging, God made it clear that we were to put a team together and go on a trip. So we did just that. We got our team together, we planned our trip, we fundraised, and then COVID hit, and our trip was canceled. Fast forward 2 years, and that nudge was back. It was time once again to step out and move forward on this missional journey. Planning began many months prior. At the time, our destination had not yet been revealed, nor had the team. The only thing that was clear to me was that God said there would be 6 people on this team. Okay, sounds good. If that is the plan, then this should be easy, right? Numerous people had already been interested in God's calling to do a mission trip, so I figured this would be easy. But one by one, for whatever reason, God revealed to those individuals this was not their time. And so began the first part of my faith journey. Planning would begin with a team of 3. Myself, Pastor Robert, and Miss Madison, who was part of that nudging that occurred. Now, I knew in my heart God said 6. So, in the true fashion of all individuals with unwavering faith, I thought, clearly, it is my responsibility to get these other individuals on the team. Don't we often do that in our faith journey? Start trying to put the pieces together on our own, instead of waiting for God to do his work elsewhere so the pieces can come together in the proper time with the proper fit. So I began asking my family members and friends that I thought would benefit from going. People from who my perspective would be a great fit. Each declined. Meanwhile, unknown to me at the time, God was moving in the hearts of 3 individuals, and I just needed to wait. Let me share a little bit about each of their stories that brought them on their missional journey to Pikeville, Kentucky. The 4th person to jump on board was Miss Kim. Now, the ladies know Miss Kim because a few months back, she started attending women's group. Miss Kim was my supervisor from 2008 to 2014. Our shared faith quickly knit our hearts together, but life took us in separate directions. We kept in touch, and I would often invite her to group or church, but she always had something going on. Then, earlier this year, her life was abruptly interrupted, and she knew she needed to be back in the presence of God. I didn't know at the time what she was going through, but I reached out in obedience to a nudge from God and invited her to ladies' group. She accepted the invite and was quickly welcomed into the ladies' group family. Then, one Wednesday night, there was mention of the upcoming mission trip. Miss Kim enthusiastically jumped on board, knowing God was calling her to do something new. Okay, God, now we have 4. I see you're still working on this team. In John 5:17, Jesus says, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." Sometimes, though, it's hard to remember that when we don't see immediate responses. About a month later, God nudged me to mention something to a small group of men that meets at our house for a Bible study. As their evening wrapped up, it was briefly mentioned that there was a missions trip happening if any of them was interested. No one seemed very intrigued, so I hadn't expected much to come of the invitation. However, 2 Corinthians 5:7 declares, "For we live by faith, not by sight." So what we think we see does not determine what God is doing. A short time later, Mr. Brad expressed an interest. It so happened that the timing for him and his family worked out perfectly, so our team had 5. And throughout this entire time, one person from the original 2020 team was continually praying about whether or not she should attend. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 calls us to pray continually, and Dr. Dana was doing just that. Every couple of weeks, we would touch base with a text, but she was patiently waiting for her green light. Then on April 1st, I got the message, "I'm thinking that I may want to join you for the mission trip if you still have room." If we still have room? We have room. Room for you. And just so you know, if you were reading this in a text, you would see my super excited smiley emoji right here. I know it's there. God showed up. He provided for the team of six. And I knew exactly, it was exactly who he called on this specific mission. God didn't stop there, though. Do you recall how Pastor Robert shared 2 weeks ago about how God provided us with a van to travel to and from Kentucky? So from my perspective, I had peace about our transportation conundrum. I knew God would show up, I just didn't know when. Then 9 days prior to leaving, Derek, Maddie, and I were visiting with friends, the man of which happens to be in that small group of men that I had mentioned earlier that meets at our house. We started chatting about the trip, and I had made mention about all that God had done and provided, from the people to the finances, but I also acknowledged that we were still waiting on a vehicle. And without hesitation, our friend said, "You can take our van. We'll be away on vacation anyway." Now, we needed to transport six adults, respective luggage, air mattresses, sleeping bags, tools, snacks, all kinds of stuff. But before I had room for any doubt to creep in, he continued, "It fits eight people. We have a roof bag you can use too." Wow. Hello, God. Here's another excited emoji moment. Now, I will be the first to admit, I am typically not a patient person. So normally, I would have been freaking out that we had no vehicle a week and a half prior to leaving. I am task-oriented, and I like to get things checked off my list as quickly as possible. But Psalm 27:14 advises, "Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord." Having patient faith is something that comes as we more intimately trust God. And it, in turn, allows God to continually reveal himself. Point one about our missional purpose is this. Having patient faith allows God to move mightily. Hebrews 6:10-12, we're going to read this a couple times. It reads, "God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit what has been promised." Did you hear that? Through faith and patience. God wants us to inherit or receive his promises. He sees our work and the love we have shown others and our diligence. Our God recognizes our authenticity and patience in our faith. Now, as I indicated earlier, we all have a different faith journey. And God will use each mission to reveal himself in a multitude of ways. And let me share you a little about our mission team in Pikeville, Kentucky. Because our little team of six merged with two other teams. There was a team from California and a team from Alabama. Altogether, our mission team consisted of 29 servants. What was incredible was that there were 29 very different people with very different gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:12-14 says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one, but many parts." One body in Christ, made up of many different parts. That's what we were. Do you remember a little over a year ago, we were given the opportunity to learn about our spiritual gifts? Gifts like leadership, administration, exhortation, hospitality, service, mercy, evangelism, shepherding, craftsmanship, faith, discernment, etc. Our unique gifts reflect a God-given strength, and those strengths are vital in functioning as the body of Christ. We must be careful not to extinguish the gift another person brings, as it would be as detrimental as cutting off a piece of the body. Or to use the example Pastor Robert spoke of earlier, it would be as detrimental as removing the saltiness from salt or the light you are called to shine. However, when we bring these gifts together and allow each person to shine, great strides are made for the kingdom of God. So on our trip, we were blessed to have folks with a variety of gifts, and more importantly, an understanding of how to allow each person to use their gift. Because of the gifts of service, administration, and organization, our team was able to help two different Christian thrift stores by organizing, cleaning, and sorting their inventory. We were also able to help at a pregnancy care center to organize funds received from a fundraising campaign and by cleaning their facility a bit. With the gifts of hospitality, mercy, and worship, our servants were able to spend time at a homeless shelter, hear stories of heartache, hurt, and pain, and we were able to share love, acceptance, and hope. With the gifts of service and hospitality, folks were able to serve food at a Christian soup kitchen and spend time investing in the individuals that were being provided for. Using the gift of exhortation, people were able to encourage children through love at time at the YMCA. One lady was even able to share the love of Jesus with a little child who was so excited to receive him. And in that moment of obedience, a lost sheep was returned home. Amen. Gifts of craftsmanship, willing hearts, and working hands allowed us to paint a deck for a woman who has raised and is caring for her 37-year-old special needs son on her own. To fix the floor of another single mom whose adult son has suffered from severe epilepsy since he was 7. To paint the repaired bedroom of a 13-year-old boy whose room had been inhabitable. And to work with Habitat for Humanity to add trusses and plywood to a roof of a house they were building. By having open eyes, God followers were able to use their gifts of evangelism, shepherding, or pastoring to speak to people we hadn't expected to encounter, to put another sheep upon their shoulders and help bring them home. For example, one of the pastors on our trip had parked their van in front of some mailboxes while working at one of the places. When he saw the mail person coming, he quickly went over to apologize and explain why he was there. This simple response led to a conversation that allowed him to share his testimony and his faith and provide contact information so they could continue this individual's faith journey. Some of us used our gift of administration and leadership to bring a team together, to encourage those who are already serving in the community, and to offer a fresh perspective to those who were growing weary. We all have different gifts to offer. We all have different gifts given to us. When we choose to use these gifts to serve God, a transformation will occur. Sometimes it is the transformation of a space we are working at, and sometimes it is the transformation of a heart we reach. Both are important parts of God's revelation of himself. Point two of our missional journey is this: God uses those who are willing. Where are you willing to serve God? Again, I'm going to take you to Hebrews 6, 10 through 12. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. God calls us on a missional journey. Maybe not traveling to the remote areas of Appalachia like our team did, but we are called to show love and to help his people and to help one another. Sometimes it is manual labor or serving, perhaps at the Warren County Farmers Fair, which starts next Saturday. Sometimes it's evangelizing or sharing an opportunity to spread the word of God, perhaps through a blue bag you hang on someone's door, like 9 people did earlier today. The truth is that there is no shortage of work to be done in the kingdom of God. Jesus proclaimed in Luke 10, 2 through 3, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest fields. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." We all know this world is full of wolves that want to devour the goodness of God and thieves that want to steal the joy of the Lord from their hearts. I want to urge you tonight to put on your armor and join us in the fields. Use your gift to serve our God, to make this body of believers whole. Use your gifts to give rest to the weary. Use your gifts to show love and kindness to those who the world mocks and rejects. Use your gifts to help someone get back on their feet. Use your gifts to be the light of Christ wherever you go. Point 3 of our missional journey is this: our mission is everywhere. Let's be willing to go where God calls us. Let's have faith that he will meet us there. Let's start a transformation in our community and in ourselves. As you contemplate where God can use you, here's a video of our work that we were able to see him doing in Pikeville, Kentucky.
Yes. Everyone who inquired about our trip and those who supported the team financially, while you may not have been physically there 2 weeks ago, you were definitely a part of God's missional journey in Kentucky, a big part helping make possible the faith and transformation journey of those that were on that trip and the people who served and the people who were touched. As Ms. Sarah said, each one of us have a mission field that God has put before us. In fact, we have many fields where God calls us to live out in faith. Parenting is challenging and rewarding. It's an incredible mission field. Going to school and going to work is one that almost all of us share, at least at some point, commonly in our lives. And if you're not working yet, you will. Sorry about that. And with our extended families, our neighborhoods, we all have many mission fields. And unlike the shopping illustration at the very beginning, God's missions, they're not general in nature. He's not searching around to see what's going on. He's always actively at work. His plan, his mission is targeted at saving the lost. He's targeted at transforming his children's lives. His plan is exact. It's detailed. It's precise. He knows what needs to be done. He has a plan, and you and I, we get to be a part of it. God places before us our own opportunity to be salt and light every day. Some of these are simple, like opening the door for someone who's coming behind you at the store, or raising a child, or just being his church. Coming here on Saturday nights, loving everyone who walks through those doors, along with grabbing opportunities like this morning to serve him, whether it's inside or outside the building. We have different gifts, different abilities. If you don't know your gift, you should, because God wants to use it. Happy to help talk to you about that. We have different talents. God wants us to reach others with his love. The good news of what it means to have a father who cares. And he wants us to strengthen one another's faith. Next Saturday, we will not be here. Instead, we'll be at the opening day of the Warren County Fair. We'll be manning our booth. We'll be handing out lemonade and gifts. Everything free of charge for whoever comes up. And they will come up. And they will not take one Twizzler. They will take one every minute. But that's all right. That's what God asks us to do. So if you've not already signed up to serve the booth, talk to me. I encourage you to be a part of God's mission next week. Not this current week, but the week after, starting Saturday. There's a lot of room on the sign-up sheet, and I'm telling you, you will not be sorry for spending time serving God in that booth. Our God is a missional God. He calls people to follow him into the field where his hands and feet. There will be more missions. There'll be more activities that God calls you and I to join him in his work. And I want to be a person that grabs a hold of those things. I hope you do as well. So in a few minutes, the worship team is going to come forward and close us in song. Talk to God. Maybe there's already something he's pressed upon your heart. Maybe you're already one of those people who say, well, if they do a mission trip next year, I think I might want to go. What mission, what journey does God want to send you on? Maybe it's getting more involved here in Westbridge. This is a place where everyone has an opportunity to serve God. He wants to walk with you in your journey of faith. He wants to transform you. There's a place at this church where you can serve him. On the back of your outlines, there's another QR code. In addition to giving, there's another on there. If you want to inquire more about the different ministry areas where you could serve, then scan that QR code. You can send a message to the leader of that area. We need help in a lot of areas. We could love to have more people on stream team. We'd love to have more people helping with laptop. There are helpers needed in children's ministry. There's a hospitality table, a greeting team. There's plenty of opportunity where God can use you. And I know he is using you already because many of you are already serving, and thank you for that. But inquire if you want to, because there's a place. And as well, I would love to sit down and talk to you. Make sure you know your gift. Make sure you know that there's a place for you here to serve, and we can talk more about that as God's using us in Alpha. God uses the willing, and I hope tonight you're leaving, like me, more willing than I was when I came. If you can, please stand as we close in song. Oh, dear Lord, we just praise your name for all that you have done. Father, we are so unworthy, yet you came for us. We were so lost with nowhere to go, yet you found us and you brought us into your presence. You showed us your grace. We thank you for that. Your power is mighty. Your power is immense. Father, we love you. We ask you that you would continue to work on faith and transformation in each of our lives as we would pursue our relationship with you, grow us stronger. Show us where you would have us be salt and light within our families, within our jobs, our schools, our community, even in this place, in this town, surrounding areas, the gas station, wherever it would be. Father, use us to demonstrate that there is a God who gives love, who is worthy of all praise and glory. Help our lives point to you and help us to be bold enough to tell others why we live differently than those around us, such that they too will be curious to learn more about the God who saves. We thank you for meeting us here tonight. Keep us safe as we travel throughout the weekdays. And Father, while we won't be here next Saturday night, you will be among us every moment at that booth. And we pray that as we serve, the smiles that we give, the people that engage us would meet with you. Be with us there. Give us a great time as a church family, as a fair, such that the kingdom of God is advanced. We love you, Lord. In the name of all that we ask you, your son Jesus, who sacrificed himself so that we could be restored with you. Amen. Have a good week. For those watching online, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Everyone else, see you at the fair. Have a good night.